Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Armour Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Katie Kitchener and welcome to this week's Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, mutton chops, horse trams and the latest on Kush, the fugitive red panda. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles and online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Sam Turton.
Hello.
And Jess Ward.
Hello.
And Andy is still on paternity.
Paternity, yeah.
Not maternity, as is in the script.
Mm. Oh dear.
Because he is not the mother. But yes. Yeah,
so he's the daddy.
He is the daddy. So we are without him again. But this is hopefully the last week. Right?
Maybe.
Apparently, yeah. I think he's back next week, isn't
he? Fingers crossed, yeah.
I mean, I quite like it without him around, don't you guys think?
Well, he only speaks 3 days a week anyway, so it's only like he's not here for 2 days.
But
those 2 days happen to be when we record the podcast.
Yeah.
So I would like him to just at least, you know, leave his newborn child and come in to record the podcast.
Are you feeling too much pressure
in
his role?
I really dislike it. Really dislike it.
I could always bring Hector with him, just sitting in the corner.
I know. I mean, like, he'll just be asleep the entire time, and he does listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh.
He wears pyjamas, that say so.
He's been raised right.
But anyway, how was your week, Sam? How was London?
Yeah, it was good, yeah.
You did a lot of stalking?
I met Boris Johnson's dad, that was cool.
Did you harass him in a park?
No, that sounds like a very different sort of afternoon experience. No, I was crossing the road and the guy next to me went, oh, that's Boris Johnson's dad to his kid. Yeah. So you got a picture of him, so I got a picture of him. And yeah. Then I met the Stop Brexit guy.
Yes.
Who's really easy to find because he's the one who stands around going, Stop Brexit! And the news
so
all that.
You
so
followed
him.
His shouting.
Yeah, I found him quite easily.
So really, Christmas has come early for you?
Oh, it's elections. It's fantastic. I love it.
You've actually got a chart set up in the office, don't
mm-hmm.
you?
Do you?
Yeah.
Is it around the corner?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, everyone's placing bets on who's going to win.
Mm-hmm. My favourite one at the minute is Paul Speller, who it says Boris is going to get majority and then go to prison. So,
interesting.
Yeah.
We'll find out on the... Is it... When is it?
Friday the 13th.
Here we go.
I will be in Vienna. Not that I can vote anyway, but I will be in Vienna.
What's most terrifying is that normally it's a black cat you've got to cross on Friday the 13th for bad luck. They have to cross Larry.
Oh, oh yeah, you don't Larry mess with Larry.
Love Larry. I love his tweets. Mm. So good.
I love the hashtag Kitty Leaks. I think that's genius.
That is amazing.
Did you send a postcard?
I thought I did. And then I discovered where it was.
It was in your bag,
it's
wasn't
in my bag.
Yeah.
Aww, Sam.
So I'm going to bring it in next week, having pretended that I have posted it.
Okay. I like where that's going. Before I get round to you, Jess, I just want to announce, it was very exciting. I think it was last Friday it arrived. We received a postcard from someone who's not a relative. Did you see it, Sam? No, you were away. Oh, it's your first time, Sam. It's from North Carolina.
North Carolina Virgin, what is it?
So, if you'd like to read it. This was very exciting.
Listen to your wonderful chatter in the hills of North Carolina. All the best. Decided to deliver in person. Come all this way. Hold on. All the... What? okay. I can't read the name.
We think Dana Clay. If we've said your name wrong, Dana, we're very, very sorry.
Very apologetic.
Yes. And then there's a second message at the bottom.
Also Miami, Florida, now at England Lodge Museums, Love Island. Oh, this is awesome. Oh. So I take it they're on holiday. They just come all this way to drop it off to us.
So...
I mean, I hope it, because that'd be really cool.
I would be very interested to know how Dana discovered this podcast if she isn't living on the Isle of Man.
Yeah.
Or was she coming here on holiday, so was doing some Isle of Man research?
Dana?
I know, we want to know more about Dana.
She's a woman of mystery.
You know, we've got Christmas coming up. We said we're going to do something special for Christmas. Phone interview.
That'd be incredible.
Phone interview to North Carolina.
Yeah.
Or Miami. With Dana.
So I guess the best way for her to contact us would be to email or phone us.
Nah, send us another letter.
Oh, so there's another letter, yeah.
Because
we
get so excited by post. But yeah, if anyone, especially Dana, wants to get in touch with us, just send us a letter at IOM News Podcast,
European House.
Peel Road.
Douglas.
Isle of Man.
I am 15ED.
Excellent work, guys.
That's going to sound like we planned that. That was really professional.
That was
for us.
Amazing.
Round of applause, everybody.
Good week, Jess.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I've written some really cool stories. I've covered Kush, who we're going to speak about.
Yeah.
I've also written up about Julia Bradbury, a former Country File co-presenter, who's going to be at the Awards for Excellence on Thursday next week, on November 14th.
Yeah.
Which we're very excited about. And, well, just loads more in the Examiner and the Manx Independent.
Give us the Kush update. Anyone who's been listening or reading the papers knows Kush is the little red panda.
Yes.
Panda?
Yes, it's a red panda.
Red panda who escaped from the park.
Yeah, Currig's Wildlife Park. Yeah, so this was about more than 3 weeks ago. He escaped because one of the tree branches had snapped and formed a bridge over his enclosure. So he made his great escape.
Did this happen just purely by accident, or was it planned by other animals in the park to help him escape?
Well, he has another red panda in there with him. Maybe they planned it together.
But the other red panda didn't escape.
No.
He chose to stay behind.
Oh, it was a girl.
Oh,
female.
She chose to stay behind.
I think they had a Barney.
Maybe.
Threw him out.
Well, Deputy Editor Jackie believes that maybe it's a boy thing, you know. Oh, gonna go out. Now I'm the town.
Lads.
And then, oh no, I've got like laundry and responsibilities. I'm going to come back home now. And can you guys help me out with this?
Irons to leave on.
I think that what happened was the wallabies, who we know escaped years ago, are planning to break all the other animals out. But they needed to get a man out. Because I've been listening to this podcast about a guy who got out of East Berlin and then dug back under the wall. So I think this is what that is.
I think you're onto something there.
Like the penguins, because you know the Madagascar, the penguins. Like
you love Madagascar. You absolutely reference that film on a daily basis.
It's a fantastic film.
It is. Well, all the films.
Yeah, the third one's alright. The first two are great. Yeah. Like when the monkeys are all going on strike and they're having union negotiations over how to rebuild the plane.
Unions are important, Sam.
Exactly.
For humans and animals.
Yeah. So I think there's an escape committee.
Okay.
I think you're right there. But anyway, the update.
Sorry.
No, that was good. That was good chat. The update is he's finally back home. And, I mean, that's been about 3 weeks after he went missing. And they found him up a tree in someone's garden. So I've spoken to the owner of the garden, Susan Quilliam. And she said she gets all sorts of wildlife in her back garden. Sparrowhawks, owls, all sorts. She'd never expected to see a red panda in a tree.
Who does?
Exactly. But, yeah, she actually took part in the rescue a little bit, gave a helping hand there, and now she's got an incredible story to tell. And that's in the Manx Independent, and we've got some incredible photos taken by our legendary photographer, John Madrill, who went down to see him.
How far does she live in the wildlife park?
It's about a mile away, I believe.
That's not bad,
it was in Thalty Will where he was found. And
my dad has always said if, like, you know, things go wrong in the earth, and you need to kind of just get away and back to nature, he's heading to Thalty Will.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous. Up there, down there, I don't know how you'd
say it. It's both up and down.
Mm, yeah, very confusing.
You go down north.
Yeah, up the hill and then, well, up the mountain and then
down. Ginny the Witch went up the hill. The Manx go down north.
I've still got a lot to learn. We've got some really, really lovely photos of him being fed some special cake for red pandas. I don't know exactly what that entails.
Was it...
Tails.
Hopefully not.
That was awful.
But there you go. So if you want to find out more, that's in the Manx Independent.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel. So we are moving on to some of our news stories from the week that have been in the Isle of Man Examiner and the Manx Independent. Jess, you've got a story about mutton chops?
I do. Yes, it's not every day you get a story about mutton chops.
No, I don't think I've ever encountered one.
No, well, they're pretty rare, actually. Well, Sam, have you ever had a mutton chop?
I have, actually. Yeah, when I was at school, I used to have mutton chops because I wasn't allowed to have a beard for my job. So I used to have mutton chops.
It's still a bit of a beard, though.
Yeah, but no, because I used to, like, it wasn't allowed to go...
Sorry, did you just say when you were at school?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had, like, mutton chops, like, down to just about down to my chin, something. It's like the full-on... Bradley Wiggins.
Please bring in a photograph of that.
I'll just bring it back.
Okay.
Well, you could very easily.
Mm.
Just shave that bit on your chin.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, presto.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, so this isn't about Sam this time, but it's about two police officers, Douglas police officers. So I don't know, they're pretty well known in the community.
They are pretty.
They're legendary.
Recognisable.
Oh yeah.
Fellows.
Absolutely. So it's Paddy Moore who has mutton chops, and he and his partner, Mike Griffiths, Mike is going to have his hair shaved off if they raise enough money for Men in Cancers. It's a sibling charity of Manx Breast Cancer Support Group.
Mm-hmm.
So they have set themselves a target of about $5,000.
That's a great target.
It is, yes. All going to a good cause. They've got a fundraising page. And I was speaking to Paddy today, actually. He was at the Fair for Employability. He was saying that his daughter has never seen him without his mutton chops, so it's going to be very strange.
Yeah.
He said the last time he was clean-shaven was about 6 or 7 years ago.
Is he nervous about doing it? Because obviously, if that's been part of his look for so long, like, it's when you get your hair changed, you go in for, like, a different look, and you're like, oh, but what if people,
absolutely,
like, they, I mean, know me by that?
That's his trademark,
yeah,
isn't it? He is a bit nervous, especially because he is worried about the cold. He cycles into work, and he says that's going to be very chilly.
Well, my friend, she shaved her head for charity years ago, and she used to have long hair, and she completely shaved her head. And the first thing she noticed was how cold her head was constantly.
Wow.
And she took to wearing a hat all the time. But she used to wear, like, a variety of different hats. Like, she didn't look like a detective for a
bit
very
style.
Long time. Yeah,
that's so cool. So yeah, the boys are going to be doing that. We don't know when, because obviously they need to raise the amount.
Yeah.
But once... Because I'm pretty sure people will get on board with that.
Oh, definitely.
A lot of people know them.
Yeah.
So once that happens, we'll get our photographers down and cover the event. But it's just a waiting game, I guess.
Excellent. So we'll hear more about this in the upcoming weeks as they get closer to their target then.
Definitely. And if people do want to read a little bit more into that and find their page, they could do so in the Manx Independent, which was published on Thursday on page 15.
Excellent. Sam, horse trams, your favourites.
Yep.
What's happening with the horse trams?
Well, this goes back to the warm days of July, I think.
were they warm?
Some of them were, I think. I don't know. I don't go outside. It's full of crime.
The outside.
It's full of crime and mirandering red pandas.
That's not a lie.
So what happened was, we did this FOI back in the summer about horse trams and the contracts that the DOI told, the Department for Infrastructure had told us existed as to why the horse trams were being prioritised on the primary generation works and why they had to be up and running.
Mm-hmm.
We got this in response to that. We got two travel brochures and some draft UK legislation. So we said, well, there clearly isn't any contract, and it's taken us this long to prove that there isn't. So that is where we got to now, where we finally got the DOI saying, yeah, we don't have any contracts. It's actually contracts between... It's now changed to being DOI contracts to contracts between hoteliers and travel companies, which is very different to contractual obligations of the department, which was said by various spokesmen and senior civil servants. But that's where we've got to. I feel quite vindicated about this story, to be honest. That's why I really want to limit how long I talk about this, because I could ramble on about how annoyed I was about this for a long time. But there we go. That's the story. It's on page 1 of the Examiner.
Oh,
wow. Boom. I feel like you need a mic to just drop it.
If people do want to go on and read this horse tram contract story, which I highly recommend, you can go on to iomtoday.co.im and click on Digital Editions, Andy's third favourite tab, and you can purchase any copies pretty much of the Examiner and the Independent dating back to about 2015.
And then, also, I forgot about it, we have reaction to this in the Independent on page 2.
Excellent. Okay, so they should get both of them from this week.
Mm.
Sam, because Andy's off with child, you are sports again. What's happened in sport?
Well, there's two big things about this. First of all, Chief Minister Howard Quayle says the Isle of Man government does not need a sports page to say how great all local sports people are doing because of the Manx Independent.
Really?
Yeah.
What high praise.
Our sports desk have been living off this week, haven't they, a little bit? They are the officially favourite sports pages of our beloved Chief Minister, who says that the quote, the we have pages in the Indy, we've got finalists in the Examiner, the Courier has sport, we've got online coverage.
In fact, even just last week, you were giving us a summary and breakdown of all the sports that is available to people who read any Isle of Man newspapers
product. They've got, I mean, football, hockey, netball, rugby, bridge. Apparently it's a sport, don't go there. Cycling, like, cool. Running. Now, running brings me neatly into, see that segregation straight in, to Manx people in the New York Marathon.
Okay.
There's been a group over there who've done really well. That is on the back page of the Independent, which shows how well the team did. There was, I think it was four people went out there. They all got really good times in the marathon. And again, it's another example of Manx. We had last week, we had the records being broken.
Yes, so over this, in Valencia.
Mm. Yeah, and Leeds.
And Leeds.
Valencia and Leeds. and this week, of course, we've got New York Marathon. So yeah, it just goes to prove that
Manxies around the world breaking records and achieving,
exceeding ourselves in sport. Exactly. And as the Chief Minister says, if you want to get that sports information, you go to the Examiner, you go to the Independent, you go to the Courier. If you want your up-to-date sports scores at the weekend, of course, you go to irelandtoday.co.im/sport. I don't need Andy for this. I'll just keep plugging it.
He also mentioned that we did the Conquer Championships. He's like, they even discussed that for sport. So we do very niche things too.
Yeah, which in fact he said it was the... He did call it the World Championship, didn't he?
He did,
yeah. And of course it's in his constituency.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we've... gold medal week for sport.
There you go. There you go, Andy. Be proud.
Yeah.
And apparently the Manx 40 pod will be back in the coming weeks as well as they approach episode 100.
And the party they're going to throw,
yeah,
which we decided last week is definitely happening and we'll all be invited to. Yeah. Yes.
Invited ourselves.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel. So we're going back to this week in history, and I'm already happier with this page, Sam, so I've just seen the Sefton advert in the top left-hand corner. I'm in, like, familiar ground again now.
Yeah, there's something comforting about it, isn't there?
There is.
It's like coming back from, I don't know, coming back from holiday and seeing the date the right way around again.
Yeah.
You don't really notice it, but when it's not there, you do.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I agree there. Yeah. Okay, so when are we going back to?
So we're going all the way back to the 1960s. 3rd of November 1960, in fact, the very start of the swinging 60s, and we have few news stories. An act of faith in the future. The Keys were agreed to scrap surtax, which apparently led to the usual sort of tempers frequently became frayed, which is weird about this because I just noticed that the whole thing's in caps, which is weird. I mean, it's a lot of effort to put your caps lock on your typewriter, I assume, but there we go.
So or they could just be screaming that first bit at you after a sometimes stormy debate.
So, but yeah, the thing that caught my attention was the top right, which was the glamorous lineup for the Halloween Queen competition at Ramsey on Monday, with Joan Caller of Ramsey leading as the winner.
Well done, Joan.
But what is wrong with that sentence?
Halloween and not Hot Tune, eh?
There we go.
Oh, yes. Richard, I showed that Richard would be very proud of you.
Straight I showed that page to Richard and he went, Halloween Queen. First thing.
Looks like there's a... Because there's a lot of sashes.
Lovely ladies.
One says, Lifeboat Queen. And Julie and I were looking at this other one, and we were guessing, because we can't really make it out, but maybe Miss Halloumi.
It does look like Miss Halloumi. I'm sure it says Miss Halloween, but it does look like Miss Halloumi.
There's also the lady second from the back looks like she's brought her own crown with her. Because it's far better
huge.
Than everybody else's.
It's better,
It looks like she's the Burger Queen.
Also, she's got the biggest grin out of all of them.
Because she thought ahead, and she's like, if I don't win, I'm still going to wear a crown.
And I'm winning nonetheless, really.
Exactly. You know, win or lose, I'm technically going to be looking like a winner.
I think this is an event that needs to come back.
So, Miss Halloween Queen no longer exists. Have we checked this?
Well,
I mean, it's not been on our What's On pages on the lead up to Halloween. So I assume it has disappeared.
I've not heard it on the Vine.
No.
Glen Vine.
Maybe that's where they host it now. It's not the Ramsey competition anymore. It's Glen Vine.
Maybe.
I don't believe it's still there. No.
How do you judge a Halloween Queen? What's the criteria? I just feel...
They're spooky.
Well, I don't know. Those look spooky. They all look quite...
They all look quite elegant. Lovely ladies.
Yeah.
There's no scary costumes.
There's no pumpkins. Maybe they had to, like, hold a pumpkin. Or best pumpkin carving.
I don't know. Did they bob for apples? I don't know what the criteria is.
It's very
confusing. I feel this front page is just leaving me with more questions than answers.
Yeah. I don't know how you'd select the Halloween Queen. There must have been some sort of criteria.
I'm also looking at this. So free with this examiner, a complimentary copy of the new Tuesday Times and Woman's Magazine.
Yeah, have you ever read Woman's Magazine, the old one?
No.
No.
It's really interesting.
Really?
Like, I was in the library, the museum a while ago, looking for old papers, because we don't obviously have that much of a record here anymore, so I had to go down there to get it. And the part of the paper I was reading, this was in it, and it's fascinating stuff.
What kind of things do they have? Sexist kind of cooking
there
recipes?
There was some, but like, there was parts of it which were like about cooking and housework. But a large section of it was about, like, this is why these skills are important, how to update your CV, why you should apply for jobs even if you don't think you'll get them. So it was, like, really quite...
That's really good.
It was an interesting thing of the shift, I suppose, I don't know, it's the shift in women becoming more and more in the workplace in higher positions. Yeah, and independent, yeah.
Yeah. Those are topics that are still being discussed now.
Yeah, obviously with the gender pay gap and...
And also just, like, confidence in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I thought it was cool.
Any favourite adverts this week? Because we do have, obviously, Hotel Sefton is back in the top left-hand
back
corner where it belongs. And we've got men's high-grade farm boots and Wellingtons.
Lindsay's,
quite the corner.
I also like this one at the bottom. It's fashion fabrics, silks for evening. So you've got evening wear. Fabrics which make our dress department important for home dressmakers. So you've got silk and lurex. I don't know what
that Lurex is. Isn't that kind of like sparkly kind of material almost? It's quite scratchy, you don't want it touching your skin.
Oh, okay.
Stretchy? Is it stretch? They can get a lot of Lurex socks.
But the graphics look very, very beautiful.
They do? They do look beautiful.
Lurex socks sounds like something you'd have to wear if you've got some unfortunate disease.
Like some sort of bandage sock.
Yeah.
Like a medicated sock.
Oh. Right, cool. That's a really good scar band name.
Medicated sock.
There's not many other ones. Fox and Lane, I suppose, for your 1961 radio or TV. Current show models in stock from leading manufacturers. Ferguson, KB, Phillips, GEC, Sobel, HMV, and McMichael. I think the only one of them still going is Phillips. And that probably isn't even the same Phillips.
Mm. There's this headline which has stood out to me. So, malicious rumours were unfounded. And then I'm reading through, and just the words chosen. So this sentence, Mr. Kelly told the well-attended meeting, I want to shut the mouths of these evil people who have been talking.
Oh.
Sounds like something was kicking off back then.
I was just reading through that. It's mad, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
We'll get this online, I assume, as we do most weeks.
Yes.
So you can go to our Instagram page, which is at IOM News Podcast, and if you watch our stories, you will see a copy of this front cover from 1960. Awesome. Let's move on to the Manx word of the week. Because last week, I think we all did an excellent job at the pronunciation.
Oh.
Because we had brasnug. And did anyone know what that meant?
Brasnug.
Firewood.
Yes, because you've just read it on the script.
You
well
cheat,
done, Sam.
Amateur.
Yep, so it was firewood because I was thinking, you know, bonfire night coming up, setting fires and the such.
Obviously, you know, in a responsible manner.
Yes, completely, not like an arson way, like a completely responsible way. I'm really sorry, guys. I've picked quite a bad one, like, to pronounce this week because it's a really good word that we've already discussed in today's podcast. But Jess, do you want to give it a go?
Why am I always first? Okay. McAwen Chinook.
McAwen Chinook?
Yep. McAwen, and I can't remember how the end was.
Chinook?
Chinook, yeah. Okay. Like a...
Can I give that another go then? McAwen Chinook?
Yes, I think that sounds just like... Culture Vannon are about to say it.
Yes!
McAwen Chinook.
Okay, so last week we got into our Anglo-Manx phrases. So this is old Manx words and phrases that we just don't use anymore, but we think should be brought back.
Yes.
So last week we were on the G's and I loved them so much. I've brought them over to this week again because I just liked all the G's. So last week we had two words for a lout, which were a gawhaw and a gorm. And we learnt that glout was money. So I'm thinking of phrases we can use glout all the time. So working hard for that sweet, sweet glout. And we can be splashing the glout around next Friday when we get paid. So just everyday use for the word glout. I've got no glout in my bank anymore.
Yeah, very much.
Judging by Sam's face, I don't think he's been using glout.
Maybe
this week.
We shouldn't use the glout word because, you know, people are going to get down.
Because we're also poor.
I'm actually being sponsored. Like, some goat herders probably sponsor me.
You're on Save the Children's website.
Yeah.
Sam likes Liverpool.
Yes.
It's me and children in need.
And trams.
Just £17 will pay for Sam to go on the tram this
Thursday. Okay, so second week of G's. Sam, are you ready? It's your Manx moment.
Okay, so the first one here is Gary.
Love
Gary.
Yep.
That's the rolling R is purely for Mrs. Kitchen. Gary, a sour waste or boggy land. A sour piece of land? Oh, okay, a waste or boggy land. So an unmarried girl of more than 20 years is said to be in the Gary.
There you go. So Jess.
Oh, wow.
You're an unmarried girl of more than 20
Thanks,
years.
Thanks, guys.
You are in the Gary.
I'm in the Gary. Wow. That's hit me really hard, guys. Can we just move on?
It sounds worse than spinster, doesn't it?
It does. It really sounds
horrid.
To say someone is in the sour piece of land.
Yeah. That's not a place I want to be, guys.
You live outside Onken. Should be used to everywhere as a sour piece of land.
The south is stunning. What are you talking about? You never reach the south because, well...
I go to the airport.
To leave the south.
Quickest way out.
You're missing out.
You are.
We'll have to take you for a trip down south then. Oh, that sounds so wrong.
She doesn't want to be in the Gary anymore.
Backtrack that statement immediately.
For those of you playing podcast bingo, that is take you down south.
Just to clarify, I mean Port Erin and the sound. You've surely been down to the sound to see the seals.
I have been the sound once.
Once? Did you see a seal?
No, it was like 2:30, 11:30 at night.
Ugh, wrong time to go.
I don't know what you were doing down the sound at 11:30 at night. But
sounds
anyway.
Dodgy.
Yeah.
Just was down there. Long story. Anyway.
To be fair though, Jess, from your Instagram, it does seem like you spend all your free time. You're like, it's like 7 a.m. on a Saturday morning and you're out next to the chasms, just like living your best life in your running gear. Or like, your life is very exciting for getting out and about like first thing of the weekend. Because I'm often lying in bed looking at your stories like, oh, what energy.
Yeah, I don't know where it comes from. I think it's an addiction. I think if I wasn't addicted to being outside, breathing fresh air, I'd have formed I don't know what else, but it wouldn't have been healthy. But yeah.
Okay. Sam, our second G word?
Ginger.
Which is?
A hot-headed person.
Yeah.
A proper ginger, that's what she is. Jess is a proper ginger.
I'm not. Is it because you have that stereotype of red-haired people being a bit fiery?
Don't know.
Could be. We'll have to find an older,
hot-headed
Manx friend to ask.
Gets better. A proper ginger, that's what she is. She's a bit of a ginger. I'm too, and no blame to her with a man like yonder.
You've gone Yorkshire again.
I've gone Yorkshire.
We need your Manx accent.
Did you say you're a tool?
Yes, I'm a tool.
What is that, anyway?
No, I don't know.
I imagine told.
No, I'm told. Right, I got it. She's a bit of a ginger.
No, not Yorkshire. Think Manx.
Michael Parkinson.
Say some words, like phrases.
Good of my whisky and venom. That'll do. Okay. I think that's thank you and welcome to our man. Get culture man in to find out. she's a bit of a ginger, I'm told. Not, I can't get out of Yorkshire.
Just think Channel John Madrill.
No blame to her of a man like yonder.
I can't get out of it. That was really good.
Okay, so next week we will move on to
E by gum.
H.
H.
I'm sorry.
H from Steps is coming in.
We're going to go over your alphabet, I think.
That's why I don't write the stories. Okay, so next week we'll move on to H. And that's it. Hopefully Andy's going to be back next week, so you can have Andy presenting and I could just not have
to... You never
to...
know, he might even read to the rest of the script.
Well, I was going to say, I just wanted to say before we go, we do have the Awards for Excellence happening on Thursday, 14th of November. And producer Emma, Jess and myself will be working all night. We'll be handling the social media, giving you the latest news and winners and what's happening.
Avoiding the Prosecco.
Avoiding Prosecco until work is over.
Crying shame.
Yeah.
Probably,
crying because we have to avoid the Prosecco and work all night whilst everyone else is drinking and looking really fancy. But yeah, so if you do want to find out what's happening at the awards, just keep checking the Isle of Man newspaper's social media and, of course, iomtoday.co.im. So winners will be announced as they happen and take you through to what's happening there. So when we record next Friday, we'll probably all be very tired and fairly certain hungover as well. But Andy, of course, will be, like, ready because, you know, he's had 2 weeks off.
Yeah, he'll be coming in sparkling.
Exactly, so he can...
Maybe. Well, then again, he has a newborn baby.
Yeah, well, he'll probably sleep through the night. It's usually the...
Yeah, that's true. But again, I don't know. I don't have a baby.
We're in the Gary.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to know the male version for that. It's going to be even worse. Let's just leave that.
Bye for now.